Back with you for a Monday, January 11th, Connecticut Today, right here on WICC 600. We heard from Governor Ned Lamont in the 4 p.m. hour, the governor talking about the latest coronavirus numbers in the state and more information on vaccinations. Leslie Zubkus, Republican state rep, joined us topping the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the big issues coming up at the Capitol. But intermittently during the show, we talked about the aftermath of the riot the week before at the U.S. Capitol building. I had some thoughts on some people who just won't give it up on the fact that Donald Trump lost the election. A crazy comparison, I think, with what went on during the summer at the BLM protests and some rioting that broke out there. And also, I had some thoughts regarding the social media app Parler, which is now all but dead. But I want to start with, again, what I call, you know, a head scratcher, something I just don't understand. And if you want to chime in, fine, 203-333-9422. 333-WICC, or you don't have to. You can send me an email at cttoday@wicc600.com, or you could just swear at me, scream at me as you're home, screaming into your radio or your smart speaker, throw things at me, stick pins in a voodoo doll. Frankly, I don't care because I'm getting paid for this. I continue to see, and I don't really get it, because I continue to see things put up by people, some of whom I've encountered, many of whom I communicate with on social media, some of whom I personally know, but we won't go any further than that. I continue to see this meme, this line of thinking, and I saw it a lot percolating again over the weekend. This line of thinking regarding what happened in D.C. last week, and I'm seeing this repeated mantra. If we were talking music, it'd be a riff. Riff being a repeated set of musical notes, contained in a musical phrase, kind of the bass, not the bass in the sense of the instrument bass, but the bass level that you build a song on. You know, musicians say, I came up with this riff in the middle of the night or just strumming away, whatever, and that's how I build the song. So there's this riff of, I don't know, was it Logic? I think not. I keep reading this thing over the weekend over and over and over again. Well, did the Democrats say anything? Were they outraged when there was the Antifa and the BLM riots in the big cities, and there was looting and this and the other? Are you serious? Honestly, I'm keep reading this. This was no worse than the BLM riots in Antifa in New York, in Seattle, in Portland. And I sit back and I stare at my computer screen going, has Connecticut already started to sell recreational pot? Can I have some of what you people are smoking? Come on, stop it. When did being a Republican or when did being a conservative or somebody who is not a fan of Democrats, when did that descend into lunacy? Wait, now, honestly, when did that descend into sheer, unadulterated, grade-A, pasteurized, Olympic-level, free-range lunacy? Comparing what happened last week to what happened over the summer, after what happened to George Floyd in all these cities, it doesn't even merit a discussion. It's so stupid. Well, why didn't the Democrats say anything? We know why they didn't say anything. Because a lot of this violence happened in Democrat-leading cities, and it was an election year. And unfortunately, the gentleman who was killed by cops was African-American. There's three reasons. I just told you. You don't have to embarrass yourself any further by this lunacy, this unadulterated idiocy of trying to compare the two. There's no comparison. There's no comparison with somebody breaking a window at a Foot Locker and walking out with five pair of basketball shoes. You cannot compare that to somebody breaking a window at the U.S. Capitol and heading toward two chambers, the House and the Senate, when those legislators are in session and some of these people are carrying zip ties. And apparently, we find out now over the weekend, looking for Mike Pence. How on God's green earth do you compare the two? It is sheer, unadulterated nuttery. It is lunacy. Stop it. Stop doing it. You look and sound like children. You look and sound like spoiled children. It doesn't excuse the lax security at Congress. It certainly doesn't excuse this dumb mantra, this idiotic, this asinine mantra without any credible proof of the election being stolen, which is why we're here today. Did Sidney Powell unleash the Kraken yet in court? Oh, maybe it's those Dominion voting machines. Did they use that? Did they copy that program from Venezuela? That's some prime comedy we got there. Again, I have said over and over again, and I will continue to say that if you have credible, non-psycho evidence, I will gladly look at it. But you know what? Hate to tell you, the president lost the election. He won in 2016. He took the Friday night game in 2016, and he lost the Saturday afternoon game here. There you go. All right, let's talk about Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, not P-A-R-L-O-R. Not like, oh, dear, let's have tea in the parlor. No, no, no. P-A-R-L-E-R, P-A-R-L-E-R. Parler is a social media application, an app. Again, if you don't know what's going on here. So we already have a lot of social media platforms, many we use here at the radio station. Of course, the biggies, obviously, Facebook and Twitter. Then you have Instagram. Then you have TikTok. There are some others out there. Incidentally, there are a couple trying to gain a foothold here because Parler is, at least at this point, shut down. There's MeWe.com, M-E-W-E.com, and Gab.com. I noticed there's been a big spike in those downloads over the weekend. Here's the deal with Parler and why people are talking about it. Parler was started by a bunch of people who didn't like or claimed not to like the censorship or the moderation that was going on platforms like Facebook and Twitter. And there is a mantra going around there, or a perception, some of which has been, I think, verified to some extent, that platforms like Facebook, like Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, to a lesser extent, that they censor conservative news, conservative viewpoints. And there are some court battles still going on there. One of the biggest ones is still going on with Facebook and a talk host named Dennis Prager, who puts in a lot of his fireside chats up there. His lectures, he's an incredibly bright guy, but for some reason it's been dubbed hate speech or whatever because of it's conservative ideas presented very very calmly, very astutely, very with an erudite flavor. I know Dennis Prager is in a big battle with Facebook right now, and that continues, and Twitter as well. So what happened was somebody came along and said, hey, conservatives, we're going to set up a social media app that you could download from the Google Play Store or iTunes Store for Apple, if you're part of the Apple cult. that we can download and you can download. And we say, listen, we're not going to filter out and delete and hide and moderate conservative viewpoints. And the minute I saw them go up at this, I said, well, that's a gallant thing to say. But I said to myself, not that one. Honestly, I said to myself, well, what if somebody goes on that platform and just starts spouting some really bad stuff, racist stuff, anti-government stuff, and you are distributed by private companies, an internet carrier, a search carrier like Google, private companies like Google for their Android-based phones or Apple for their Apple OS phones. Do you think you're going to just get away with this? Now, I think we're all for free speech. I get that and I understand that. So the bottom line is, because a lot of really caustic right-wing leaning rhetoric ended up before the attack on the Capitol last week and even since, Parler has now been essentially shut down because there's growing evidence and people have been able to go back and see that some of the planning for why and how this happened was right in plain sight on some of these social networks. Now, that's a whole different discussion as to why, when you had messaging out there from some of these right-wing nuts saying essentially, hey, we're going to the Capitol on January 6th and it ain't going to be good, why nobody paid attention to that. That is something that's got to be looked at, too. So what happened was they shut Parler down. Essentially, Parler is still out there. But three things happened over the weekend, largely shutting it down. Apple removed it from its iTunes store. So if you have an Apple-based phone, you cannot download the Parler app and put it on your phone and message and say, you know, Biden sucks, Trump sucks, whatever. You can't do that. Google removed the application from its Google Play Store. So if you have an Android phone, and I think there are something like two or three more times Android phones in the world than the iPhone, you cannot install that application on your Android phone. So Parler said, well, we'll host the downloads ourselves. Now, most people say, well, wouldn't that solve the problem? No, because although it eliminates Apple and Google from the equation, you still need a company to host your app's web traffic, the site, the raw computing power that you need for these apps, like Facebook, like Twitter, like TikTok, like Gab, like MeWe, like Parler. It's mind-bending how much computer power is needed every second because you have millions of people exchanging messages. So the third domino to fall over the weekend was with Amazon. Everybody thinks you just go online and buy stuff at Amazon. Hey, I got that new book. I got that camera. Great price at Amazon. You know what? Where a lot of Amazon's money comes from? They host websites. You know, if you're watching football over the weekend, guys and gals, and they have that advertising campaign now, Next Gen Stats. The receiver ran 38.3 yards after he caught the pass at 18 miles an hour or whatever. And then they say Next Gen Stats brought to you by AWS. That's Amazon Web Services. So Amazon, Jeff Bezos, that Amazon, his massive computer farms and servers host a lot of websites. So if you want to start your own website and say, hey, I got a high volume thing going here, I can't control this from my home with two or three, you know, homebrew servers here, you sign up with a web hosting service. Well, Parler was signed up with Amazon Web Services, AWS. So the third domino over the weekend was Amazon Web Services dropped the administration of Parler. So what was and still is considered a very conservative-leaning app where the company promised little or no moderation of voices is now without a home because Amazon won't touch it for their iPhones, Google won't touch it for their Android phones, and Amazon Web Services won't touch it to handle all the web traffic. So do we have a case of censorship here or not?
6.3% positivity the last 3 days. That's down a little bit for the last 3 days, but we're still about 7% for the last week. And so like a couple of weeks after Thanksgiving, we came up a bit. Now it's a couple of weeks since Christmas. We've come up a little bit. Fortunately, it's going up like this, not like this. So we feel like we've got it under control for now. A lot's happening over the course of the next couple of weeks. Kids going back to school, universities slowly getting back into kids flying back. So we have one more chance where the whirring blender starts stirring things up. I would tell the universities I would get all those kids on the COVID Alert CT track and trace app. I think it would just be a big savings for folks. Hospitalizations relatively flat over the last few days. At least still good capacity, as you know, and tragically 92 deaths over the last 3 days. A trend that is just heartbreaking. The vaccine update, which is always a little more hopeful. We still are one of the best in the country when it comes to getting people vaccinated, that first vaccine on a per capita basis or percent of the population. That's really important. We've done about 140,000 vaccines have been administered since we started. Almost half of them, 42% of them, just in the last week. So I would tell all of those frontline healthcare people in the nursing homes and in the hospitals, overwhelmingly, you've gotten vaccinated, but some of the nurses have still been a little hesitant. Here's your chance. Schedule your appointment now. Stay at the front of the line. What a difference that can make, because we're beginning the transition to the next group of people. And as the flow of people comes in, I would take advantage, healthcare people, of getting to the front of the line and getting that vaccination. Don't put it off any longer. Next up is phasing into 1B, is what I was alluding to before. So we're going to make sure that there are no vaccines left on the shelf at the end of the day, at the end of the week. So what Pat can tell you, Griffin and our other providers, we're going to now open it up starting next week to people over the age of 75. These are over the age of 75, not in the nursing home, but in the general population. Folks over the age of 75, there may be about 5% of our population, but they are about 60% of the fatalities. You can see why the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and the state of Connecticut are prioritizing this group as we move from just the 1A to the 1B as the first tier there. So look, starting Thursday, just in a few days, we're going to start the advanced registration for people over the age of 75. And a medical outreach to those patients. Pat could tell us a little bit about how that strategy is, how we'll be reaching out to you. Following up, there'll be online registration as well, so that you'll be able to sign up and make an appointment. And I've got to tell you, there won't be room for everybody on day one, so you're going to have to be patient. And for those of you who just are a little exhausted by the internet and online, we are going to have a telephone booking system as well. Details on that coming out in a couple of days. So that's in 1 week, the 75 and overs will start being able to register for their vaccination, and that's really important. Looking forward is we're anticipating an expanded supply of vaccine over the coming months. We want to make sure that we have in place the infrastructure to be able to do that. So Josh is working very closely to expand our provider base, starting with our hospitals, our federally qualified health clinics, moving into mass or broad-based vaccination sites. The first one up, again, will be Rentschler Field, probably in the next 10 days. So you'll be able to go to Rentschler Field, and you'll be able to, A, with an appointment, get vaccinated, B, get tested, and C, as needed, depending on need, be able to get some food support as well. So that's where we'll be able to do that at Rentschler Field. I think the federally qualified health folks are taking care of that. Convention Center, Hartford Health is doing it there. And I think Josh is going to say we'll have another half dozen other facilities being able to do this on a broad base within the next couple of weeks. But that's not good enough. Not everybody has a car. Not everybody has easy access to a site like that. So we're also going to be rolling out the mobile vaccination units, just like we did with testing. So we go to those underserved populations. It's so important that they get tested. Now it's so important that they get vaccinated. We're going to make that easier for you, working again, for example, with our houses of worship and taking advantage of their parking facilities so we can bring a mobile unit there, come out of the service, and get vaccinated. Working very hard to do that. What do we need? We need additional supply. Just got off the phone with somebody on the Biden task force. They do believe that the millions of doses that are sitting on the shelves waiting for the second dose will be released to us as a first dose opportunity soon after President-elect Biden is sworn in. We are expecting some guidance, Pat, in terms of whether you have to do that second dose after 3 weeks, or maybe there's a little bit of latitude there that would give us some more flexibility. But you are going to have to get that second dose regardless. So that's what we're trying to balance out over the next few weeks. And that's how we can increase supply, get more of you vaccinated faster. And we are hoping to see Johnson & Johnson get approval maybe by the end of this month. One of the small choke points we have is still getting more people able to vaccinate you. It's the people issue that we have alluded to before. So if that's your thing, go to ct.gov, Step Up Connecticut, ct.gov, Step Up Connecticut. It's working pretty well. I mean, I think we've had thousands of college students sign up so they can go in as apprentice teachers and help our kids get back to school safely. And for those teachers that have to teach remotely, we still have somebody in the classroom. I think we have over 1,000 people who have signed up for our medical reserve team. And hopefully some of them can be trained or qualified to give vaccines. We've got a lot of retired folks who are coming back. I think they've done a few vaccines in their dairy, and they'll be ready to help us out as well. Again, let me just reiterate, please be patient. I mean, I think you've seen the pictures from Florida and other places. First come, first serve. Everybody over the 55, come and join. That's not the way it's going to work. And there are more disappointed and frustrated people in those states that have done it that way. So we've got, obviously, a lot more people want to get vaccinated, a lot more people over the age of 75 that are ready to go. And we're doing this by appointment. We're doing this carefully just so we can measure the flow in. It's not a question of how big I expand 1B. There's only so many vaccines, but we're doing everything we can to do that. So that's why I urge you, please be patient. We're going to get this out as the best as we can, and keep your guard up. I was struck today to find out that because of people wearing the mask, people diagnosed with flu going to the hospital for flu is down 95%. Pat?
Unmute.
Listening to the news conference here with Governor Ned Lamont.
Cases at Griffin is down dramatically, which is wonderful only because it creates capacity to care for the number of individuals who are presenting with COVID. Just in terms of vaccination, just I want to thank you and the vaccination program leadership team who've done a great job in rolling out the program here in Connecticut. We've had a really positive working relationship, which has allowed us to vaccinate over 10,000 individuals to date. and that's just since the 15th of December. That's been the phase 1A group, which is direct caregivers. We've not only done that for our own employees, but for employees of other healthcare facilities throughout the region and the state, and have now done some on-site vaccination for state employees in facilities, and those are direct caregivers there. We're really looking forward to next week, where we have an opportunity to vaccinate those 75 years of age and older. We've already been preparing for this. We've identified vulnerable individuals in our community, working with our local anti-poverty agency. We've mined data through our own medical records in our integrated physician practice in our hospital, trying to identify individuals that we need to get to first, especially those who will have difficulty coming to a vaccination center. We're working with our parish nurse program, our community health workers, our outreach workers, to identify those individuals and develop a plan to go and vaccinate them where they are. We're working with the local interfaith council and the local clergy to see if we could use local churches, church basements, at least to work with the clergy and church leadership to identify individuals that might be at the highest risk. We are setting up a call center. We know that there may be challenges with access to technology. So we are actually going to be calling those individuals we've identified that we need to get to and schedule appointments with them so that we can get them vaccinated as soon as possible. I concur with you. There is a concern that if we open it up as first come, first serve, we wouldn't be able to manage the demand. And I think it would create a negative scenario. We'll discourage people from coming out. So a more disciplined, structured approach, we believe, will work. We're looking at various locations, want to make sure that people have transportation. Luckily, our local anti-poverty agency can actually provide volunteers to drive individuals to vaccination sites if they can't get there on their own. Again, our focus initially will be on those individuals at highest risk, those that are low income, those that are currently on Meals on Wheels, those that we know have multiple chronic conditions, because as you pointed out, those are the individuals that have the highest mortality if they contract COVID. So we want to get them vaccinated as soon as possible.
Hey, Pat, I'm 75 years old. I live in Derby. It's a week from now. I haven't heard from anybody. What's going on? What should I do?
So if you are you live in Derby and you're 75, in the next day or two, you will begin to hear from us. So I know everybody's been standing by. We've gotten lots of calls to our call centers while we're in phase 1A asking, you know, when they're going to have an opportunity to get vaccinated. People have been patient, but I think we got to get the word out. So I think multi-pronged communication is going to be important. Again, we're actually going to be calling people directly. Obviously, we're going to communicate through existing relationships, our health and social service agencies, our local health department, but the actual call to schedule the appointment will be an outreach call. So we'll call them, and we want to do that as quickly as possible.
I love it. Pat's here to answer any questions along with Josh and Paul. Max?
Channel 3 Eyewitness News.
Yes, Governor, talking about the vaccine rollout, it looks like there's going to be tiers within the tiers. We see 75 and older going first. Who in phase B would be next?
Well, the allocation committee, you know, we put together, will be meeting tomorrow. They meet very publicly on a CTN, so you can listen to the debate. We're following the lead of CDC, the Center for Disease Control. So they're going to lay out the other groups as they come along. But as Pat just suggested, after the 75-year-olds, it'll be people with some healthcare risks and frontline essential workers.
Got it. Talking about sports now, high school sports, you know, the preliminary guidance has been released. It looks like certain sports are going to be going back on the 19th. Does this also apply to recreational leagues and groups and ice rinks and things like that?
Yeah, we're talking about K through 12 here in terms of those sports, but I also think it does apply to those leagues. I think you can see maybe the chart up here. We wanted to bring this out that we're about a week away from allowing practices to begin for all those moderate risk sports. That's ice hockey, basketball, indoor track, swimming, not wrestling, I'm afraid. And the competition can begin very soon thereafter. And working with all of our neighboring governors, I think we announced this probably a month ago, we're not going to have, interstate competition just because of all the flow of people back and forth. It looks a little risky.
I wonder if I may, briefly on security, you know, the FBI put out an alert about the potential of armed rallies, protests happening at every state capitol. Are we hearing about credible threats or credible details of this happening in Connecticut?
I can tell you our state police working with their national counterparts and working on a regional basis are tracking the social media very, very carefully. And so we'll be ready, but I have a high degree of confidence that Connecticut's going to stay peaceful.
NBC Connecticut.
Hi, Governor Matt Austin with NBC Connecticut.
Hey,
just following up on that, has the Connecticut National Guard been requested to go to D.C.?
Why don't you take that, Paul? You're on mute.
Hold the pat. Sorry about that. Yes, the Connecticut National Guard has been directed by the governor that upon requests that come into the Connecticut National Guard that we stand ready to provide support to our partners down in D.C. At this time, there has not been any additional requests made, while some of our regional states who have other applications for specific requests that they're able to take on, particularly New York, but Connecticut and our and the Connecticut team of the National Guard stands ready upon any additional requests being made.
And is there a certain number of guardsmen who have been told to be on standby?
At this time, we have no particular number. It all depends on the particular ask that's made by the National Guard Bureau.
And is the Guard also on standby to protect potentially the state capitol?
The governor always stands ready to call in the Guard for any particular emergency situation.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And Governor, just kind of switching back over to COVID for these people who are age 75 and older, and if they don't get contacted by somebody about vaccination, are there the state numbers and the state website, is that where they should head to? And where will they get vaccinated? Will retail locations like CVS and Walgreens be open for vaccination?
Yeah, I'll start with that. I mean, we're going to be releasing all that information, numbers you can call, within the next 72 hours. And Josh is working very closely with CVS, Walgreens, and the other pharmacies. Let's face it, CVS and Walgreens are pretty busy getting the next stage of people vaccinated at the nursing homes. That was their first priority. But over the course of the next couple of weeks, I think you'll see more pharmacy retail outlets available. Of course, the hospitals and the federally qualified health centers as well.
Yeah, just picking up on that, we already have over 100 locations around the state that are doing vaccinations. So there will be a location close to just about everybody in the state at this point already. And the key point the governor touched on before is this is going to be a reservation-based process. This is not first come, first serve, people's camping out overnight on sidewalks. So, you know, our hospital partners like Pat and his team and his peers around the state are starting some outreach to people who've been in their networks over the past several years to do some outreach. By Thursday, as the governor mentioned, there'll be a website, there'll be a phone number for people to call if you haven't heard from someone or you want to take the initiative to book your own appointment. Those options will be available. And so at both of those locations, there will be visibility into what sites have appointments, what times, you can book your slot and be ready to go. The key message here, though, is it's all appointment-based. We don't want people showing up at vaccination sites. You won't get a vaccine if you just show up without an appointment. So keep that in mind, but there'll be much, it'll be very clear for folks how they can book their appointment in the coming days.
Talk about the fact that state legislators are back at it. How they're doing this, I don't know. We'll talk about that and more with Republican State Rep. Leslie Zupkus, who joins us. She represents portions of Bethany, Cheshire, and Prospect. And Leslie, it's been a while since we've talked. Paul here. How are you?
Yes, I'm great, Paul. Thank you. Happy New Year.
You too as well. Now, you are in session. So logistically, Leslie, how is this working with you gals and guys in the House and Senate with the COVID restrictions? What's going on here? How's that working?
Well, actually, I'm up here right now. It's empty. There's no public allowed, no lobbyists. It's just legislators to come into their offices. As you know, when we were sworn in, we came into our offices. They have created the software where we can vote from our offices, sworn in outside, and then went back to vote on the rules and all of that. And this is how it's going to work. I am a little concerned because I really want the process to be followed and have public input. And all of the committee meetings and hearings are going to be virtual. So with that comes, you know, technology issues, or we get kicked off, or I've been on Zoom meetings for other things, can't get connected.
Yeah.
So I just really hope that it will really be easy for the public to really testify, share their concerns, share what they want, and us being able to hear them and listen. You know, it's not like talking to somebody and seeing their body language face to face.
Yeah, and Leslie, obviously the consideration is public hearings. I mean, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like eons ago that people were actually, you know, and lobbyists, and I've been up there enough times to know, you know, how frantic the office building in the Capitol can be. But I guess, are people going to have to make do with testifying online, or will there be email public comment? How's that going to work?
Yep. Well, as before, you can always email testimony in, right? And I encourage everybody to do that wants to do it. But they will have links. It will all be broadcast, all the committee meetings out of CTN.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a way for people to want to testify to be put into a lottery, and they will be able to testify. So the public supposedly will still be able to testify. It's just going to be and feel and look so very different because it is going to be all virtual.
Republican State Rep. Leslie Zupkus joining us, 89th General Assembly District, parts of Bethany, Cheshire, and Prospect. Boy, you folks, Leslie, on both sides of the aisle, men and women, you've got a lot of big issues on the plate. Let's start with the legalization of recreational marijuana, because this does seem to be happening all around us. Massachusetts has had it now for, I think, 2 years. They've raked in something close to $1 billion in sales. You've got New Jersey coming online. There's pressure in New York. You've got Rhode Island, too. What are you hearing, Leslie, on this? You know, I have guests on who are generally for it, although, Leslie, I've had a couple of guests on, namely some members of the clergy community in some of the big cities like Bridgeport, that aren't really on board with this yet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I listen, the Democrat majority can pass whatever they want, right? Because they have such a majority.
Yeah.
And even the governor the other day said they want it. They want this. Yes, I have constituents. I've heard people that say, let's do it. And I've heard people that said no. I mean, you know, I'm a parent. I have a 13-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and I really don't want her walking around with pot smelling on our streets. I don't want it's just an easier access. So, you know, I'm anxious to hear. I'm public health, so I think that bill will probably be in general law. So I don't know if I'll get to hear it or not. Yes, I've heard the other states, bringing in money, but I've also heard that car accidents are, you know, people get, you can debate it whether it's a gateway drug or not, but then addiction is up and suicide's up. So there is a lot to be talked about before I think we just go in and legalize recreational marijuana.
other states around us too, Leslie, as well, are benefiting to some extent from legalized sports gambling. Again, it's 2021. It is here. I know there are these ongoing discussions with the two Native American tribes because of this pact that was signed way back in the 90s by Governor Weicker at the time, and there are experts, and I've talked to them, who say, well, this is really nebulous language, and that's kind of been borne out here. Anything on that? Again, it sounds like, Leslie, this is another one of these, well, we all want it, but ... You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, you know, I've served on public safety for a long time. I'm not on it anymore, but I was ranking member, and I was on it when the casino in East Windsor was being built. And to me, I was about putting it out to bid. And if the tribes want it, they want it. But it was not on tribal land, nor did I think it should be just given to them. And so, you know, kind of with the same with this betting, again, I think it's probably going to pass. And does it need to be passed? Can Connecticut make some money off of it? Yes. It will be interesting. I think it is going to pass. And if they can work out a lot of the details, you know, you have other people that are interested in it as well and don't want it to be just going to our tribe, the tribes. The details that they can all get worked out, I think we will see that passing as well.
And finally, Leslie, the big bugaboo, that big five-letter word every session, taxes, T-A-X-E-S. Yeah. We're hearing about an increase in gas taxes separately from maybe this transportation climate initiative. Would we just have the deduction begin for the family and medical leave?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the other side, they have the votes. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, Paul, it is so disheartening to hear more tax increases, especially having COVID and people losing their jobs. I must have answered 35 emails just today about this and the taxes increasing. We're taxed to death. People are hurting in this state. They're just trying to survive. And let us just work, let companies open, let them get their employees back to work. We have a spending problem, and we really need to look at responsible spending and cut out. We're just throwing in some of these programs good money after things that don't work. And there are definitely places that we could cut and do better at how we spend our money. And I am not for any tax increases. People are taxed to death, and they can't take it. Look at the people leaving our state. And yes, they will say, well, people came in for COVID from New York. Well, hopefully, are they going to stay here? I don't know once COVID's over. But the people in this state are taxed to death and cannot take it anymore.
Leslie,
if they want to pass them, they can.
Yeah, well, you know, when the votes are there, the votes are there. Leslie Zupkus, 89th General Assembly District in the House, parts of Bethany, Cheshire, and Prospect. Leslie, good to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk down the line. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Republican State Rep. Leslie Zupkus. So she is of the opinion that sports gambling. Oh, good. I can bet on my Jets. Sports gambling. And my producer's looking at me like I'm nuts. Sports gambling and legal weed are passed. So here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll do. Yes, Eric is right. He's making the motion, get that joint going while you're watching the Jets. My building is a no-smoking building, though. Well, if I light up outside, I do have a deck. So I have to ask the condo association, can I put my bong on my deck? Does the... I have never, in the 20 years I've lived there, and it's no comment, if any of my building people are listening, it's no comment on the association or people living there. I've never been to one condo meeting. I just, whatever, pass what you want. You're going to make me pay for it anyway. Maybe I should go now. Oh, look, they'll say, Paul, they know me in the building. Oh, you're here after 20 years. Yes, can I put my Ned Lamont bong on my deck? Does that count as being inside the building?